campus and student news.
The Pulse.
Hello and welcome back to today's edition of The Pulse. I'm joined today by Mark and Callum. We've got a great lineup of stories today. We're going to start with a national story from Mark.
Yeah, so this is the news that Tory peer Michelle Mohn is going to request a leave of absence from the House of Lords after allegations that she benefited from a company that she recommended for a COVID contract. Notes that the whip has not been removed from her, just stepping down of her own accord. It means that she wouldn't be able to attend any sittings of the House or vote on any proceedings or be able to claim any allowance from her job there. She's been linked to a company called PPE MedPro, which won government contracts during the pandemic. And Angela Rayner, Labour's deputy leader, has said that Rishi Sunak was too weak to properly remove the whip from Baroness Mohn. So the question is really, are we surprised?
Am I surprised that, you know, Tories have an element of sleaze amongst them and have benefited their own? No. Am I surprised that this story is only just now getting talked about and consequences are being given? Somewhat, because I feel like, you know, this is clearly something that some people have known about for a while and have chosen to sort of keep quiet. And now it's finally getting revealed. Everyone's, you know, the actions are finally being done. But I feel like whether or not, you know, Baroness Mohn is, you know, actually going to be, you know, punished effectively, we'll kind of have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I think it was it's maybe a bit embarrassing for the party leadership that this is something that she's had to do of her own accord and there's been no sort of action from Rishi's office or anything about this. But in a way, it's not that surprising, because we've seen allegations, especially from like the opposition throughout the pandemic, of all sorts of dodgy government contracts. I believe the word sleaze was used several times by Keir Starmer. So I think, yes, there's definitely these serious allegations of a link between this Tory peer and the PPE company. But there are also alleged links between a lot of sitting MPs and companies that benefited from misusing pandemic funds, essentially. So I think this is maybe just the tip of the iceberg, which is underneath, it's actually a much, much more endemic problem within the government itself. What I'd be interested to know what either of you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because obviously I think a lot of this the big COVID PPE sort of VIP lane was definitely quite a long running scandal during, you know, most of like leading up to Matt Hancock's resignation, obviously not because of that. But I feel that since his resignation, it's almost been forgotten about quite a bit. It was a scandal quite deeply linked with him and his management. So therefore, now that he's gone, a lot of people just seem to have like moved on from that. So it's, you know, it's interesting to see that it's only really now that yet again stories like this are being sort of, I don't want to use a negative term of raked up, but, you know, properly looked into and well, I was about to say action taken, but in this case clearly it isn't. I mean, but what's funny is it's separately Matt Hancock has accused Baroness Mohn of being aggressive and threatening when trying to secure another government contract for COVID tests. So, you know, it seems like it's, you know, a common recurring story. And Matt Hancock's obviously got his book coming out talking about experiences during COVID.
The Pandemic Diaries.
yeah, you know, his ghostwriter's just finishing writing that. So I'm sure we'll get that soon.
So maybe there's some sort of correlation between sort of that, you know, going to come out talking about some of these things and maybe the story getting a bit more spotlight again, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I know. I feel like just for, you know, fairness and balance, we should read out the statement that the Department of Health have said.
Yes.
They say that due diligence was carried out on all companies that were referred to the department, and every company was subjected to the same checks. They continue, we acted swiftly to procure PPE at the height of the pandemic, competing in an overheated global market where demand massively outstripped supply. Yeah, so that's the statement from the Department of Health. I guess the point there being that, like, you know, decisions have to be made quickly and, you know, under a lot of pressure during the pandemic to get things like PPE. So do you guys feel that there is some level of kind of acceptance with, you know, having to, in terms of, you know, Department of Health makes these decisions, they're not always going to be the right ones, but they made them. Do you have any kind of sympathy for them, or do you feel like they should have done more to make sure that these kind of areas of government corruption didn't occur during the pandemic?
I think if the issue was a much less big problem than it clearly is, I'd probably have been a little more understanding. You know, with as they said, you know, it was quite a, you know, overheated global market, and demand was incredibly, incredibly high. However, you know, the extent to which contracts went to, you know, dodgy companies, whether or not they were connected to, you know, sitting Conservative members of Parliament or the Lords otherwise, you know, if you just look at Pestfix and various other places with, you know, like addresses in tax havens and the like, getting lots and lots of contracts and the billions and billions of pounds of fraud there. And now we're in, like, the economic situation now, and you're like, well, wouldn't it be good to have, you know, some of that extra money lying around? So, yeah, I think, you know, in a scale like that, it was to be understandable if there was going to be, you know, some money thrown down the drain. But to the level of this, I don't think so. And again, you know, mistakes are understandable, but it's like, okay, they're big mistakes and they're big expensive mistakes. Oh, and look, all of the money's gone towards people sitting in the incumbent government, which certainly isn't very good. I don't know. I'm not a fan of corruption, really.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that, Mark.
And, no, definitely.
URN's hot takes of the day.
Corruption is bad, guys. Don't want to lay down any kind of controversial truths.
Tune in
there
every Tuesday for more hot takes.
Yeah.
I will say, I think in the department's defence, it is always easier to criticise a sitting government than it is to act as a sitting government. But I think, as you were saying, Mark, when we're dealing with this sort of level of what is essentially amounted to waste, I mean, whether or not they knew how it was going to end at the time, we are still, like, duty bound to sort of go through these things and in hindsight be able to reflect on whether they were the right decisions or whether there was maybe a bit of, you know, insider shenanigans going on there, which I'm sure wasn't the case for all of the contracts, but there have been these consistent allegations, and when you've got a whole plethora of people in the party who seem to have got, you know, some sort of, you know, family link, you know, some friend link, or like acquaintances in these companies, it is justified to try to dig a little bit deeper. Whether that means that this is all a big conspiracy or that it was a genuine mistake, it's hard to tell, but it is important to ask those pressing questions.
That's what I admire most about Chris Grayling when he gave that contract several years ago to Seaborne Freight, who had no ferries. Like, that was just on the basis of just being completely clueless. I don't think there was anyone benefiting there.
No,
so, like, whereas it was sort of the Conservative government of today is like giving money away, but it's a little bit more dodgy. No one.
Yeah. I think my favourite thing about that Chris Grayling story is that if you look at the terms and conditions of this supposed, like, ferry company, they copied them from a takeaway like menu. So, like, it was like, in the event that, like, you are infected from this food, and then if you just look at it and you think, like, clearly this man should not be in government. Like, if you're, because as you say, it's not even like malice, it's just incompetence, because,
yeah,
you know, who is, like, how, unless he has like a really good friend who's terrible at creating fake companies, I don't understand where the benefit is coming from there.
I'm trying to work out what I prefer now, just incompetence or malice.
Because we've had
our taste of it's sort of the most Alan Partridge-esque sort of radio question. But I don't know, I feel like having, you know, equally portioned slices of both pies, I can't really work out which one tastes the worst.
Well, I think in general, incompetence might be my preferred route, because at least if you're incompetent, you can, in theory, make it better. You can improve yourself. But when there's malice, you can assume that there's some sort of entrenched, vested interest in the system.
I don't know. I feel like this is a great conversation. I feel like when you have malice, though, there's like, I would rather have someone who, like, I didn't trust, but I knew to get the job done, as opposed to someone I trusted, but, like, had no ability. Because at least then the job would be completed, even if, you know, it would be done in effect. There's, like, even if all the money is, like, ferried away with it, at least, like, the government is being run.
That's
as opposed to incompetency where, like, you know, at least, like, where, like, it's where things will never actually happen, you know?
You see, that's funny, because I feel like every, you know, every Prime Minister has said that before they hired Michael Gove and then proceeded to fire him anyway.
That is fair.
I suppose it's like that quote, which I can't remember the words to, but it's like, take advice from a wise enemy before a foolish friend. Something along those lines.
We're delivering philosophical, you know, analysis.
Yeah, we're really speedrunning today, aren't we?